Okay, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 6078-ish. Okay. So I didn't know what the purpose would be of recording an episode, I have to tell you. I still kind of feel like I don't have anything to say. And the thing that's been kind of like difficult is I've gotten messages from people. I need another Andy's Girls. I need to hear like a rage episode. I need to, you know, and I get it. I'm right there with you. I would love for that episode to exist, but I haven't had anything to say. I know there somebody somewhere is like, whatever could she be talking about? I just don't have the things to say that I would expect from myself. And I'm so sorry for that. This is good because usually there's a pause when I'm coughing and now it's just me like sobbing alone in the office. Not sobbing, weeping. There's a difference, use your words. Writer girl, you know, I have been alternating just kind of feeling so sad and spending a lot of time crying and or not crying, just not feeling anything. And I'm so fortunate that I have therapy on Wednesdays because you can only imagine what that appointment was like the morning, the afternoon after. But the funny thing is I'm dealing with so much in my life right now that my psychiatrist thought we were going to jump into the election. And I was like, one sec, let me just first tell you about my week, which I'm sure I will talk about at some point. I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel terribly that I can't access the stuff that I hoped I would be able to. And I'm just so sorry for that. I just, you know, I was so confident going into the polling site, which is so funny because it's not funny, but I've been so worried this summer when Biden was still running. And I just had this sense of dread of like, it's just not going to happen. And then when Kamala became the nominee, I was just filled with so much hope. And I think even though I still had dread and fear, I don't think I let myself really sit in the reality that we would be in the spot that we're in now. And I think because I have some like boundaries in place from 2016, I'm no longer on Facebook. At some point after 2016, during that period of time, I got off Twitter. I don't remember what year, but Facebook, I put myself in absolute, like a permanent timeout because I was just so angry. And I was doing a lot of things that were not productive for my soul. Just getting in fights with people. And just being nasty. And it just made me feel terrible. And so I removed myself and I'm not on Reddit, although when friends like send me links, I guess I technically have an account because there was some fucking Housewives or Bravo thing where it was like, you need an account to read it or some shit. But I don't know how to do any of that, even though I'm very young. So I don't have access to sort of alternate worlds that rely on a certain level of misogyny and hate. Often I really just don't see it. I'm like on Instagram, living my life, talking about other things. But, you know, this week has been such an eye opener because to just see people repost on Instagram, a lot of stuff that's happening on Twitter, which I'm not going to call it because I'm going to call it Twitter, that's happening on the dead bird site. I just was horrified to see so many men talking about like and I guess going viral or whatever else for talking about the fact that, like, this whole, like, your body, our choice stuff. And, you know, Project 2025, just kidding, it really is real. And seeing all of that kind of after the fact, I think the fact that I kind of removed myself from some of these universes didn't prepare me for an onslaught of reality that came as a bit of a slap in the face. And on election night, I realized things were not looking great. And everything in my body just started to slow down. And I was just Googling what I could do for insurance, because the last several years have not been easy. This has been, bar none, the worst year of my life. And I'm very, very nervous, because a part of the campaign promises was a repeal of the American Care Act. And I don't know what I'll do without health insurance, because I don't qualify otherwise. And so the Affordable Care Act, specific to Americans. So I don't know what is going to happen to me medically and financially without that. So, you know, I went to sleep, I think, around 2:30 in the morning. And at that point, it was pretty clear he was going to win. And I didn't really sleep. And then I just kind of woke up and spent the last couple of days just like being really quiet and checking in on friends and just being nervous. It's going to be a very difficult time. And the cunty responses of like, you don't have a right to be upset, or people, you know, messaging me, and certainly a lot of other women creators being like, you know, the facts that you're reading aren't real, and don't listen to campaign promises because they don't exist. And ha ha ha, when I'm literally just trying to figure out how I'm going to have health insurance. And also, you know, I'm protected more than if I was living in a red state right now, because I live in New York, specifically New York City. But that doesn't mean safety is kind of guaranteed. And from what we've seen in the last couple of days, like this organized effort to send texts to historically Black colleges and universities, these like incredibly racist messages that mention Trump, that tell young Black people that they're going to be picking cotton. I haven't looked into exit polling stuff. I haven't read the analysis that I normally would, that I was reading until election night. So this isn't the place where you're going to hear that. This is also a podcast about TV and TV psychology and how our own experiences can inform our opinions, regardless of whether or not you agree. And the thing that I've been trying to work on is like sitting in discomfort and having conversations that listeners might not agree with takes that like maybe very counter to another person's opinion. And the thing that's been so shocking to me, I guess, is a two-parter. One is the number of people who have found glee in messaging, I'm going to just speak as a woman, specifically women right now, to laugh at them, including women, is such a shitty behavior, especially if, God forbid, you've been a listener of the podcast. To discount and mock someone's feelings, it's not about having a different political take. It's about a celebration of apathy that I don't understand. To mock someone's upset or say they're not allowed to have feelings when you're listening right now to a show that's all about feelings, how they can be misinterpreted, misunderstood. It's not saying I have the right opinion now, but I am recognizing the reality of what's going on, and I'm owning my upset. I'm allowed to be very upset. You don't have to agree with my upset to recognize that policing another woman's sadness or rage is completely unacceptable. So that's part one. I guess the second part is, I personally, as a Jewish woman, as a woman, as whatever the fuck else, as a bitch. Oh, those are fun messages. Regardless of whether or not you agree with my political take, I don't know that I have ever believed or done an act that's been condoned by the KKK. So I would hope, LOL, that regardless of the reasons why you think you may have voted for him, that if you see evidences of racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, all the fun words that we're going to be using quite a bit as a nation for the next several years and generation to describe what's going on, that you would call it out. I would just hope that that would be something that you don't consciously agree with. And it's just kind of fascinating because it's like this whole podcast, quote unquote, LOL social experiment is all about just sharing. And I just didn't have anything to share. And I felt terribly. I was like, I'm letting people down right now. Like, I should be posting and giving people an outlet. And I just didn't have anything to say. And I wish I had more to say now. I don't know. It's happening. Life, man, can really kick you by the balls. I would just try to say, if you see someone, specifically, I'm saying this as a woman, if you see a woman or gay person right now expressing upset, regardless of whether or not you agree with it, before we get into another period of entirely policing people's feelings and rights and lives, I would just hope that there would be enough space to allow that to exist. And if you feel nothing at all, I'm right there with you. And if, regardless of how you voted, you were looking for this episode to be about housewives and a true escape from that, I completely understand. And frankly, a big part of me also agrees. I don't really want to be crying right now on mic. But sometimes, you know, shit happens. And I'm not going to ignore it. That was never a choice. I was just honestly trying to delay the inevitable cry fest as long as I possibly fucking could. You know, I think hopefully we'll certainly talk about Orange County. That's the only show. I just watched it. I did not spend the last couple days watching anything. I spent a lot of time staring at my bedroom wall and then my TV when it was turned off. And then actually yesterday watched something, which was the first couple episodes. I had watched a couple episodes when I was in Rhode Island with my brother this past weekend of Outer Range. So just a random recommendation. I'm still on the first season. It's on Prime. But if you're looking for something kind of like mystical, scripted drama, Josh Brolin, hotter than he ever has been, Zaddy energy, cowboy energy, I recommend it. It's on Prime. It's called, I think it's called Outer Range. That could be wrong. Honestly, maybe Google it. Maybe Google Josh Brolin looking fuckable like he, I mean, he has been for a while. Who are we kidding? I watched a couple episodes of that. And then today I posted a poll on Instagram and was like, you have two options right now for what you want for the next AG. I narrowed it down to Orange County and Salt Lake City because those were the first I honestly thought of. And the people, the AGs, voted Orange County. So that's the episode that I just watched. So let's get into Orange County. But before I do, and I know that the demographics of Bravo are diverse, certainly including politically, as the casts of Bravo are diverse, certainly politically, as the listenership of AG is diverse, certainly politically. And I know that the gut instinct of some people who might feel differently is to, I don't know, mock or be misogynist or rely on misogyny, regardless. And I guess the response that I would have to that is, I actually don't know. I don't know. I would, this is probably, you know, the first couple of minutes have probably been tough to listen to. And I think the gut instinct that a lot of people feel who might be feeling really good right now is to deny the reality of campaign promises that, God forbid, are going to come true. I would just maybe, if you can, in between cheering, understand and have a little bit of empathy for people who are really upset and scared. And just instead of like denying that, because again, why on earth would this podcast be any different than other moments of things happening in the globe or things happening on and off Bravo TV? I just don't entirely understand the celebration of being a twat. I just really, everything in me, my core being, which relies so much on attempting to understand my own feelings when it comes to Bravo, times that I've been completely off the beaten path or whatever else, this is really just a conversation exploring that. It's never been about right or wrong, but I can tell you truly with every fiber of my being that the wrong idea right now would be to laugh or mock people who are in pain, unless that is how you define yourself. There are so many ways to define that behavior, she says to strangers out into the interwebs, but really genuinely to be that kind of twat is really, that's an incredibly unfortunate decision. One on probably a pretty long list of bad calls, but you know, that's where we are. I really didn't know this whole like incel thing. I'm so, because I don't know what's going on in those spaces. I really am in my own bubble of that. Like, I'm not on the social media channels that seem to be exploding. I'm not listening to the podcasts that seem to be really, really making a huge impression. I've never listened to like Andrew Tate long form before. So this whole like incel culture thing is so outside of my universe. I'm a woman who has spent the last couple years, certainly full time and several years before, hosting a podcast that is exploring majority women storytelling. And I'm a woman telling those stories. So my priority when it comes to like guest booking and conversations is to listen to women. There's such a breakdown, including in the Bravo universe, of like who we listen to and the ways that we are strident against women creators versus men is wild. And maybe we'll get a little bit more into that on a future ep, because I'm truly, if I haven't been before, in my absolute zero fucks era. So some stuff that's been happening in like the Bravo world, like let's say in the last year or so, has been confounding to me. Just truly wild. But this whole like uprising of men saying I need to take back control of a woman's body and life is just, I mean, you would think it would be easier to just develop a better personality if you're angry about not getting laid. I mean, to take control of a woman, first off, best wishes, number one. But number two, just like, I don't know, be a better man. Is that not, where are those podcasters? Have we just skipped over that and gone straight into like, I myself am going to be as much of a twat as I put, like, seeking revenge because you've never brought a woman or probably yourself to completion. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. It's so wild to me. I'm just like, don't be a dick. Why don't we skip over that? Anyway, suffice it to say, I just watched Orange County and it wasn't a healing journey. I wish it was. It wasn't entirely a bomb, but it was BALM, not BOMB. But it was something. I found myself, my curiosity didn't kill the cat. My curiosity, I was definitely entertained by it. The energy actually was spot on. We had been told before the reunion in the lead up, still have post pneumonia cough. Andy had said in the run up to these episodes being aired that, like, the energy was going to be ever so slightly different. And I felt that. I mean, certainly there were some different strategies here that were being deployed, most specifically by Tamara, I would say. But I did also feel like this, like, calmer energy was nice. I don't know that I would have enjoyed it as much had it just been people screaming at each other. I actually felt like this energy is appropriate. And Andy's explanation before the reunion started airing was like, and when we were still like mid, but to the end of Orange County, was you're not going to get a lot of fire during the reunion, excepting when Alexis is on stage, but you are going to get it in the remaining episodes. And that, I think, is exactly what happened. And how I really appreciate what we're watching take place on OC. And there were certainly points where I was like laughing and gasping and just kind of feeling like, OK, this is what I both want and need. Like, I had a couple of days where I was like, never. I'm done. I'm done. Like, I'm outie. Like, I don't know. I was not finding the idea of watching Bravo giving me any kind of gratification or escape in the way that I assumed it would. It just was not for me. I couldn't watch anything. I like couldn't consume anything, which is so weird for someone who, I watch TV in the background the way that people listen to music. I've been like that for years and years and years. I'll just like put something on, which does mean I don't know truly any recent or current musical artist, but I'll watch stuff over and over because it's comforting. There are those studies that have shown that there's something to be said for knowing how something is going to go, that if you have or experience any kind of anxiety, that is a comfort blanket to know, like, Bethany is going to lose her shit for these next 7 episodes and Ramona is going to try to cry and apologize. There's something about knowing what's coming where you don't necessarily have to be surprised, or you might still be confused, but you can just kind of rely on, this is a thing that's brought me joy and I know that it will, where old Bravo is truly a comfort blanket. And I think this season of Orange County is going to feel the same, even though, as we know, my queen Shannon has really been through it. And I was texting with someone who works on the show and said, you know, like, you're going to be really happy with how the reunion goes for Shan. And I was like, great, but like, no spoilers, because I'm that idiot. I'm like, I haven't watched the first episode yet, so I haven't watched it yet. But I started thinking about Shannon when she was in the Clawfis, and I know I've said this on other episodes, but I truly was like thinking about looking at her face and her eyes when she was directly across from me, and she just felt very secure and really strong. And certainly there were moments during this episode, and I'm sure the next two, where, because I also thought it was going to be a two-parter for some reason, but I think it is, in fact, 3, where she was getting upset or maybe a little panicky or whatever, but she still felt like she was in control. And I saw that same person during the reunion. Like, I honestly was shocked when I was talking to her during the episode, because she just felt really, really confident in her decisions, in boundary setting and other stuff. And I felt that in her behavior during part one, like 1000%. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication.
And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, REJOYN.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Do you like free stuff? Well, you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with purchase. That's right. I have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year. If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, manage stress, balance hormones, improve mood, feel refreshed all in one bottle. You can only get this exclusive deal through my link special for AGs. Go to buyoptimizers.com/AndysGirls and use code AndysGirls to get your discount and free gifts today. And one last thing you should all know, all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked. Again, the link to go right now for the exclusive code is buyoptimizers.com/AndysGirls using code AndysGirls. I do just want to mention that the flash to Tamra's post, what was it? It's like a blue chemical or something. I forget what the fuck it is. Her post-chemical feel appeal face when she looked like, honestly, no disrespect, but she looked like a spotted leopard that had like fucked an iguana. I gasped because I just couldn't imagine signing up for that willingly. But also, she looked incredible. I thought everybody on stage looked beautiful, where sometimes like the reunion looks can feel like a little bit of an LOL where it can lean costumey. And I'm not against costumes. I love when the women stick to a color scheme. I love when you see shades of blue or pink or purple or red, black, white. I like to see that kind of uniform look. But then I'm watching the women on OC and I'm just like, God damn. First off, the diamond story being told. Number one, I was just very, very distracted by Tamra's tennis necklace. But also just everyone looked so fucking good that there wasn't even an LOL to be made about anybody's weird fakakta outfit as there normally is, or maybe the set, which did bring me some sense of calm. But then Tamara started speaking and I was like, okay, so obviously, regardless of her Rinna-ing, I guess on her podcast, on social, certainly this season, she's done this thing of like, I'm going to triple down. She said stuff in advance of the reunion of like, I've decided that anyone that's ever questioned me is a bot that Shannon purchased the last time she Googled Russia. And I know that those criticisms aren't real because I disagree with them. And I'm going to be a real cunt when it comes to showing up to the reunion itself. Like, she really is in her owning it, but I guess apparently not energy. Because then she came in, she was so fucking calm that it actually put, I was a little unnerved because I'm like, wait a second. You did this whole run in the run up to filming the reunion and what you said about the reunion after the fact where it was like, she's going to be a beast like never before. And then I got no Eileen Davison beast energy accord at all. Like, it felt like she was doing this other version of manipulation by just being like, you know, my behavior might seem unreasonable, but I'm going to appear as reasonable as humanly possible right now and continue to push an aspect of my narrative. I mean, Shannon said the thing, and Emily certainly tried to help at points, which I appreciated, of like, don't add a but. Gina obviously did that at several points too. And Tamara's response of like, I'm not adding a but, because what she meant was, I'm not using the word but I'm relying on that. I'm saying over and over again that there was an explanation for my behavior instead of I'm just going to apologize. Tamara couldn't do it. Did she do it once this episode? She kept trying to, but then she couldn't help herself. And it's not taking out questions that people have about Shannon. I don't think the kind of flashback to 10 years of Tamara and other cast members questioning Shannon's relationship with alcohol only served Shannon in saying, you know, this has been going on for 10 years, and Tamara being like, no, it hasn't. And then the editor showing. It also does show that people have had genuine concern for Shannon and whether or not she's using alcohol as a coping mechanism. And one of the threads of that conversation has been Shannon calling people late at night and then maybe being upset at them for referencing things that she said because she hasn't remembered. But also that intersects with Tamara being like, I know that you were drinking when you were doing this program where drinking wasn't allowed. Either that happened or didn't. Tamara being unwilling to acknowledge that she might be wrong about some of this becomes frustrating. Like, either Shannon was in this program helping her process trauma that did have an alcohol component to it and was receiving random drug and alcohol testing during it. It sounds like alcohol wasn't available. Tamara being so confident in referencing episodes that may not have happened did not help her case. Either you are going to believe this woman or not, but at the end of the day, the cast might feel a certain way about Shannon's relationship with alcohol. But as I think several of the cast members noted, most especially Gina and Emily, using the word drunk as a pejorative is not helpful to someone if you are genuinely concerned about them. And the thing that was so frustrating about watching Tamara try to quasi-acknowledge but not really explain away her behavior is at one point she does quite literally admit that she was just trying to trigger Shannon during periods where she was upset. She was trying to call her a drunk because she was trying to trigger her when she was mad. And I don't know how you think it's possible that you can come in the door and seem like so calm and considered and also acknowledge you were doing these things for malicious reasons, but then also pretend you're genuinely concerned about her. I think we can measure concern. I I'm not taking away that like Tamara and Shannon did have a close relationship at some point. Obviously, they're on different pages about how close they were before this season started. And around the period of time when Shannon had her DUI, they have very, very different opinions about how close they are, how supportive they were for each other. And I'm not taking away that Tamara has understandable reason to have been like overwhelmed, feeling like she was a caregiver for this person who was requiring a lot of emotional energy and maybe not giving it back. I'm not taking away from any of that. But I also do think that her behavior during this reunion was entirely strategic. And do I believe Tamara when she's walking in the door seemingly really calm? I don't. I think she's doing it because she knows she fucked up and she's trying to figure out a way to navigate this where maybe the audience is in a different, more complicated position to criticize her, because now you have to really focus on her words. Because if she's walking in the door and she seems more calm and more measured and it feels like she's taking responsibility for some of this, it becomes a lot harder to be like, Tamara, you suck, versus when she's screaming as she did every other episode this season. She makes the job more difficult, but I do still think, like, do I think she has learned anything? I'm not sure about that. Has she ever before? I'm not sure about that too. I'm glad that she's starting therapy. Do I think she's really taking ownership for herself? No. I think you can see glimpses of that in real time. I don't see a different Tamara. And I don't know that Tamara really understands boundaries or how they're supposed to work. Like, Tamara might have a valid argument that having maintaining boundaries when they're specifically against a cast member will be tough on a show in which you're forced to film with each other as an ensemble. Because in real life, these two women would never speak to each other ever again. It would have been game over a while ago. But the show sometimes often can force people to reconcile because they know that's the only way for the storyline to move forward. BCC, Giselle, and Dr. Wendy, who, while I haven't seen the most recent episode of Potomac, have been doing, I think, a pretty fucking good job of figuring out ways to, like, see and acknowledge each other that they couldn't before. That's happening because they know their job requires them to make the fuck up. I don't know if you can do that with Shannon and Tamara. And I do understand Shannon being like, I don't want to. I think the difficulty here is I don't know that Tamara knows how to be anything else but herself, like this version, herself, like capital H. She doesn't know how to do this show and not be a dick. I think she's made great money doing it. I think she's been incredibly successful doing it. I don't know that Tamara knows how to navigate the show and try while trying to be a good friend. Is that counterproductive? Do we sort of need someone to be the villain on the show? We have shades of villainry in other characters. Heather Dubrow has not had a good season, although I would argue she had a great part one. She has a way of saying things sometimes where I'm like, God damn it, Heather. Like, just the way she communicates, I'm like, fuck me. Like, I understand parts of your perspective that I didn't during the season where I'm like, God damn it. I just wanted to dislike you and you're making it really fucking hard. With Tamara, I don't know that there is there like a role for Tamara moving forward where she tries to genuinely not ruin the life of a member of the cast. What happens if Shannon takes herself out of the equation? Like, if at the end of this, they somehow shake hands or hug or something and say, I'll stay on my side of the street, you stay on yours. Is that something that Orange County would be okay with? Can you move forward with the show if these two people don't interact or fight? I don't know. I don't think Tamara is equipped in her life to learn lessons. And I do think that has helped her enormously on the show. But I do think also she's reaching a breaking point because she just goes so fucking low that how open are people to listening to her now? That's why she had to change the tone and volume of her voice so she appears more measured than she actually is. It's why she hasn't changed her behavior off camera after this aired with what she said in the podcast, with what she's saying on social media. she posted some fucking video the day that they filmed the reunion that, and I forget what it was, like from pop culture. I think it was a clip from a movie. Apologies. I genuinely forget. My brain is quite literally burnt toast. But she posted something that was kind of like a LOL ha 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 after the reunion ended. And I'm thinking about that. I'm like carrying that in my heart when I'm watching her do this whole like, she's not being a soul sister or anything else, but like doing this whole like, I'm here to learn and grow. Probably apart. This, she's trying to consciously uncouple, but figure out a way to maintain some semblance of like hope that, like, well, I'm just here to explain why I was upset and figure out a way to move forward. And I'm thinking, but you're not really, because you're not listening to Shannon or anyone else when they're speaking. There was one moment where Emily was like, you just need to apologize. And Tamara's nodding her head because she thinks that Emily is speaking to Shannon. And Emily is quite literally talking to Tamara. Like, Emily's like, no, look at me, Tam. Like, I'm speaking directly to you right now. I don't know if the show will want Tamara to move forward. I think the audience wants to see a different, less bitchy Tamara, or less like evil sorcerer or something. Pull something out of your ass from the Harry Potter universe. I really don't know any of them. The guy that Ralph Fiennes, Voldemort, like they want to see maybe Voldemort turn a page, but I don't think he does by the end of that. I don't know that it's a matter of like asking someone to be different than they are versus hoping against hope that after 1700 seasons of Orange County, Tamara might actually emotionally grow. And yeah, the fact that she's starting and has started therapy, she seemed surprised that Andy referenced it out loud in front of cameras. That might have been real, to be honest. Maybe she thought that she was having a private conversation with him. I don't know why she would mention it at that moment. She's not kind of new to this. And she's talked publicly about, you know, having just started therapy on her podcast recently. And I think probably also, yes, certainly on social, that you don't really know if someone changes until you see a change in their behavior. Like, Tamara's apologies mean less than nothing. It's like literally getting an apology from dirt. Like, it does not mean anything, because I don't know that we have actually ever seen Tamara grow. I don't think she believes that it's part of her scope of work. She might not be entirely wrong in that, but I do think that there is a little bit of a reckoning in, like, we know that you can suck, and sometimes we agree with you screaming, but you have just gone too far in terms of this being entertaining for us. And that coming at the cost of her relationship with Shannon, I don't think Tamara misses Shannon. I know that Shannon doesn't miss Tamara. I don't think that Tamara misses Shannon in any way. I think Tamara is missing the prospect of having future content. I think Tamara is thinking to herself, if Shannon removes herself, what is there for me to do? Like, who is going to be Tamara's target next? Because she always needs to have one. And we'll see. Maybe, I don't know when Orange County is going to pick up its cameras again. I really do not want any change to the cast. I've said previously I would be interested and supportive of Vicky coming back in a friend of position. I still believe that. I don't know what's going to happen with Alexis and Johnny J. I'm not against her cameoing necessarily, but I do think she's a joke. So I don't know what would be, I don't know what the benefit would be for her to continue doing this show. But I also think she's now engaged to a man who cannot stand the idea of having his ex-girlfriend continue to have some sense of freedom over how she feels her life and her relationships and other things have gone. He does not seem to be someone who believes in free will when it comes to partners. He used to love bomb and say we're like the single greatest part of his life, and you know, the people he thought, like, hours in or whatever, you're my one true love and I'll love this person, whatever else. That love seems to have gone very, very quickly out the door. So I don't know that he'll be able to, regardless of what, how Alexis tries to spin it. I think you really have to rely on their behavior more than her trying to convince us with words that he hates being on reality TV. I don't see examples of him trying to support his partner, because if I did see that, I think he wouldn't continue this lawsuit against Shannon if he cares about what Alexis wants us to believe are her feelings that this ends. It's so unfortunate for Alexis, I guess, that just through happenstance or bad luck, she's been with two partners who have targeted Shannon and Tamara. And while she tells us, I don't know if she's telling her partners, while she tells us that she's in positions where she has no control, regardless of what she's said to people who are being sued in the moment, she tells us she has no control. But how unfortunate that she's with these people, or were recently with people. She wasn't technically with Jim when the lawsuit started, or threats of the lawsuit started. She wasn't with him, but she was certainly representing him in her communication to Shannon. I think it's very a fascinating coincidence that she's with two people who seem to have a vendetta that cannot rise as high as, I guess, their love or respect for her. I would feel kind of weird about that if this is my like future forever partner. And I, wink, wink, really do not want him to sue his ex, wink, wink. I'd like us to be able to like end this and move forward. And he doesn't seem interested in that. I guess, you know, you can't have control, right, over your partner and their decisions. But I would really take note of how he cannot seem to let go. And I'm actually just remembering that I posted something on Instagram stories, because I am fully in my Khloe Kardashian era of just posting memes throughout the day. That's been going on, I think, honestly, for like several months. And there was something that I shared on Instagram stories that says, "Dear younger self, here's one feminist life rule of mine. I never judge a man based on how he treats women when they are coddling or praising him. Look closely at how a man reacts when a woman displeases him, stands up to him, or draws a boundary with him, and you'll find out who he really is." That can apply to any number of people in the world. I certainly think it can apply to John Jansen. And he's doing such a good job of showing us who he is that it really is fucking up, I guess, the seasonal work Alexis is doing of trying to say, you know, regardless of his apologies to Steven Tyler, Aerosmith confessional attire, that this is, he's such a cool guy, that, I mean, Johnny J, that he really does fucking suck. I think you get as much of a glimpse into him through what he willingly engages in versus what Shannon could or could not have said had he not started shtupping Alexis. It's not great. It's not a good look for him. I don't understand, if you're John Jansen, if you really care about controlling your reputation, why don't you control it? Like, why don't you figure out a way to control your behavior and not engage in such a public life if you don't want people to publicly shit on you? He made it so much worse for himself and so much worse for Alexis. And I'm not taking away her decisions to actively participate in this. I did think it was funny in the like trailer for like the full arc of the reunion that Shannon just like shouts at her, "You were practicing lines of like close, I don't want to open the door, closing the door, and there was no door." I just, that to me, someone clip that when we actually see that happen, I assume next week. The other thing, I don't know why this episode, how do I not know how this episode is focusing so much on Shannon? Where are we right now? Okay, we're in the United States of Shannon Bedore. I did have a little moment. I think that Emily and Gina have had great seasons. Doesn't mean they haven't engaged in behavior that is worthy of critique. I would say that more Emily than Gina, but I do think that they've had incredibly impressive seasons, just personally. There was one moment where I was like, "Emily, I get what you're doing, but I don't love the comparison," which was essentially saying to Shannon, "Listen, you said some shit to Gina. She was able to apologize to you. you guys were able to move forward. Why can't you forgive Tamara? And I'm thinking to myself, you're putting Tamara at the same level as Gina and Shannon, which isn't fair to Gina and Shannon. Like, Shannon really fucked up. She said inappropriate things during Gina's DUI era. She wouldn't let it go. She did, unfortunately, need to go through that experience to have empathy for Gina, which is unfortunate. You would hope that empathy would be built in, but also this show is about complicated, often problematic women trying to figure shit out. So for Shannon to have like made the wrong move is something for us to discuss. Doesn't make it okay, but it is not entirely surprising. But to say that, well, you know, Gina has forgiven you, you've been able to apologize to her, why won't you take Tamara's apology, is a not great equalization of the two, because I feel like, when has Tamara apologized and shown actual progress? That's the thing that Gina has certainly been able to communicate, which is like, you need to see a difference. When Gina's saying, I accept Shannon's apology, what she has said repeatedly previously is, I see a different person. Shannon fucked up, but has been working on herself. I see actual growth. What I hear from Tamara is like cool, dulcet tones. I don't see a person whose behavior has changed. She's telling us she's working on herself. That's all fine and good. But deciding that you're going to start therapy, which again, couldn't more highly recommend. Therapy has changed my life entirely for the better since I started going to therapy in 2018. It has been an incredible resource, truly, and an absolute lifesaver. And so I hope that she, you know, I hope that she receives the kind of benefits that I personally have. But also, we've seen this woman for how many fucking years? Like, when did she join Housewives? Have we ever really genuinely seen Tamara take accountability for ghastly behavior? I'm telling you, I'm saying like really bad stuff. Maybe she's taken accountability for lesser things, but like true 911s, like you're being an absolute wench in these moments. Have we seen her really want to grow? Not especially. We've seen her behavior adjust, usually to wins that are like, you're fucking up right now. You need to figure some shit out. I don't know that I've really seen her intentionally try to grow. And again, like, I don't know how much of that is because she thinks that that would be a poor job performance, but I don't think this performance this season has been especially great. So maybe we will see a difference, but also Shannon and Tamara have been through this so many times before and nothing has changed. And I think also Tamara's relying on Shannon's prior behavior to try to punish her and make her look bad. And what Emily and Gina are doing is saying, like, we're looking at this woman at present time. We're looking at when she has fucked up previously and the ways she has worked on herself through now. It's not just being a Ramona Singer style apologizer and thinking that that's enough and still being a dick to people that you're trying to convince us you care about. Like, I'm kind of done with Tamara being like, I love her. We were such good friends. You were not acting like a friend at all. You were acting like an enemy who wanted this person to suffer. She says that during part one, that she was trying to trigger Shannon because she was mad at her and wanted to punish her for it. But you're also like acting in this way that's like, oh, I miss us. What is the us that you miss? Can we not just go off of your recent behavior? You're putting too much trust or responsibility on the audience to believe a different version of you than the one that has been presented for much longer than a fucking minute. So I don't know entirely what to do with that. And I do appreciate Emily being like, can't we kind of figure this out? But I just don't think that the Gina and Shannon new beginning is equal to a possible new beginning between Shannon and Tamara, because also you can't trust Tamara at this point. We know how low she'll go for kicks. Why would you trust someone with your friendship or confidences? She's drawn back into old fucking Manila folders to be like, this is who Shannon is, and I'm worried about her, so I'm going to try to punish her and shame her into different behaviors. She's telling us she recognizes that's wrong, but then she continues to rely on that kind of thinking through the rest of part one. I don't know. I'm not entirely here for it. What I am here for was a little bit of Heather Dubrow. There was a lot of information that happened this episode that I didn't know. Because again, I'm not on the Reddit of it all. I'm not on wherever else people are like digging this stuff up. So I, for example, had no idea about questions involving Katie's custody. I mostly truly rely on like what happens on the show and when I remember to watch the after show episodes on Bravo's YouTube. So first off, the custody thing to me was uncomfortable. I don't think we should be referencing questions relating to Katie's custody as an example of whether or not she's a quote unquote liar. I think we have to set the standard here of like, leave out questions of whether or not you're seen as a good parent and your relationship with your kids. I was very uncomfortable with what Katie and her daughter were saying about Emily's kids on camera, and that spirit carries to Katie herself. I didn't like questions about it. She's obviously referencing something she doesn't or can't get into about, like, I was staying in a quote unquote facility that I can't name. I wasn't able to be able to support my kids. So for 18 months or whatever, my ex had, you know, full custody legally and otherwise. I don't know how much of that she needs to explain to us. But questions about whether or not she lied to Gina about owning a house when you're talking to someone you want to develop a relationship and a rapport with. And also, as we know well, Gina as a realtor is like a real fucking thing and how Gina provides for her family. I don't think we ever got an answer to that. Because if Gina has text messages and she's saying she has them and Emily's saying she's seen them, and it's like, if you're asking this person upfront, do you own your home? And you're saying yes. And then your next sort of response to that is because it was like a rent to buy or whatever, lease to buy, whatever the fuck it is, kind of situation. That's not owning your house. That's like, I have the hope to one day own, or I've had conversations with the owners about hoping to buy this property, a 2-year whatever. But you quite literally don't own it. Like you either own it or you don't own it. That's number one. Number two, this whole fucking thing about an arrest or whatever situation happened when you were driving was actually something where I'm like, okay, this is incredibly new information for me of something that happened a decade ago. I don't know how it came out, except this person signs on for, you know, reality TV. People are going to look for stuff. You know, I think it was like In Touch, because I Googled it after the fact just now. In Touch has something that's like referencing police records or whatever else from, I think it was a decade ago. I think it was 2015, but I could be wrong. And obviously content creators and other people have found this. So when Heather, who was it? Was it Heather and Emily, I think? When they're referencing this thing that happened, I was like, what's going on? Then Katie gives her explanation, which I was like, okay, some of this, I'm confused, certainly. But the whiplash I had when Heather gave the other explanation of events was shocking to me. Like, I genuinely was like, what happened? And then I Googled the fucking In Touch thing. Now, I'm not saying that In Touch is C-SPAN, but I am saying there was some information here that I didn't know about that wasn't great. Okay, so this is, I guess, a recent piece from late August 2024, In Touch, title, Orange County's Katie Janella accused of calling police to report a fake crime causing a wrongful arrest, where she was accused, and this is again per In Touch, you know, accused of calling police with fake allegations that led to a man being arrested for false imprisonment. In Touch can exclusively report. According to court documents obtained by In Touch, a man named Sidney, S-I-D-N-E-I, so I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, Silva, followed a lawsuit against Katie in March 2016. In his lawsuit, Sidney said he had had an incident with Katie on the roadway in April 2015. He claimed she followed him all the way to his house and parked her vehicle behind his work truck van outside his residence. This whole thing is so fucking weird. Just this whole situation. I'm like, Jesus, I'm so thankful I'm not in an area where I need to drive, because just anything that occurs to like, it's just wild. Anyway, Katie exited her vehicle and confronted Sydney aggressively, the suit said. And this is all of obviously according to this man. The man said he pulled out his cell phone to tape Katie in an effort to protect himself, which led to her calling 911 to, quote unquote, falsely report a crime. He said Katie told the operator that he was preventing her from leaving the scene. Sydney said he was in no way. Sydney said he was in no way preventing or stopping Katie from getting inside her car and leaving the scene. When police arrived minutes later, Katie again communicated to them that Sydney had blocked her path and prevented her from getting inside her vehicle and leaving. How did this even come up on the episode? Oh, because they were referencing that, like, she's a liar and then you can pull out of your ass this thing that happened. As a result of her allegations, the police initially arrested Sydney for false imprisonment, disorderly conduct, and reckless driving. Upon further investigation, and this is all according to him, this is his, you know, a view of what happened. Upon further investigation, the police determined that Katie was the primary aggressor and that her allegations against Sydney were false. Sydney said, as a result of the investigation initiated by Sydney's call and her, by Katie's call rather, excuse me, and her subsequent false allegations, he was thrown to the ground, injured, and arrested. He said that he was forced to hire lawyers to fight the charges that ended up being dismissed. He said he spent $12,625 on legal fees, on legal fees to defend himself. He said Katie should be held liable for the fees. He also accused her of slander, demanded over $100,000 in damages. According to the court docket, Katie never responded to the case, a default judgment of $112,945 was entered in 2018. He filed a separate lawsuit against the police officer involved in his arrest. In that lawsuit, this is wild, it revealed the details that allegedly led Katie following Sydney home. It noted that Sydney was driving home when he noticed Katie texting while driving with several children in her car. He said a driver who was texting killed his brother 8 years ago. Terrible. He claimed he shook his head in disapproval as he passed Katie, which led to her following him. The suit said she parked outside. Oh, she parked behind him, got out of her car, leaving the children inside, and screamed at him. Confused by the woman's behavior, after all, she was the one who had endangered the public and the children in her car by texting while driving. He began recording the event with his cell phone. In 2018, he and the officer agreed to dismiss the case. And then it gets into stuff about the other legal thing about the business idea and some stuff about her divorce. I think the number one question here is, maybe for me, it's just one question, but like, when this happened, when she called the police, was she outside his house? Wouldn't that kind of resolve this? Because she's saying she just pulled into an area. I would think, I guess it is still complicated, because if you're Katie, you could still argue, well, he was still aggressive to me, so then I followed him in a moment of, you know, frustration, anger, trying to take back control or whatever, and that's when the police got involved. But she's not saying that. She's saying to, unless I misheard it, which is entirely possible, I'm like 20% of myself. I think that she said that she just like pulled into a lot or something. But if the police were called outside of his residence, I mean, I'm not an Inspector Clouseau. I'm not even Megan King Edmonds. But MKE would be like, were you outside of his home or not? And also, Brooke Ayers still does not have cancer. Like, we need Megan King Edmonds on the case right now, because I would just think that answers at least the question of, regardless of what, big regardless, by the way, regardless of if he was aggressive to her to begin with, her choosing to follow someone, first off, if they're aggressive to you and you choose to follow them to your house, that's not a great idea for your safety or the safety of your kids. When she's saying, like, my kids still remember this event, I don't disbelieve her at all. Of course they do. There was some sort of road rage incident, and then the police were called. The kids, I'm sure, are terrified. Of course they are. This is a terrible thing that happened. But also, either you were outside of his house or not, I also am confused, as Gina was, about whether or not you can serve someone. Maybe it's like after X number of times. I don't know that you can serve another person on behalf of your, or if another person can be served on behalf of yourself. That is a question for Emily. I forget. Emily might have been like, you can't, but I don't remember. Emily is truly the Supreme Court of Orange County. She's the one that's like filling in a lot of the blank spaces here, but that's not great. And the door, obviously, Heather was like armed with this information, as Emily was. The door was opened to this. It's not great. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it aside from like, not great. The thing that did genuinely make me laugh was Heather saying repeatedly, I'm speaking, I'm still speaking, I'm still speaking. I did chuckle because I was like, she's just such a dick. But she's, I mean, I got it. I got what she was saying. Also, I did think it was a class act move, and I'm sure she knew that cameras were still on, but I'm not saying that happened just because the cameras are on. I'm just saying, you know that once you step into the soundstage that everything you do is being watched and recorded. I did think it was a class move for her walking up and being like, listen, regardless of what we have cooking between us, I wouldn't have brought up your custody. Like, I do think that was lovely of Heather to say, and something that should be said, because I did think it was crossing the line. I don't know that we need to get into this stuff that, especially against women, against mothers on and off TV, this whole trying to judge another person's mothering and like what Katie went through when she was younger. It sounds incredibly upsetting and really difficult. There's ways to talk about other stuff, but I do also think that there should be a boundary there against all of these women's kids, like talking about them and questions relating to parenting, unless it's a huge part of the season or unless it's a response to somebody saying something on camera. I mean, you can still say the same thing. It shouldn't have happened. Shannon says now it shouldn't have happened. Like talking about CPS or whatever, is that what it's called? Child Protective Services, you know, they would have potentially needed to be excuse me, involved with like the Gina DUI thing. Gina had the right, obviously, to respond to that, but, and the whole argument is like it never should have been said, which Shannon herself also acknowledges. There's a pattern here of maybe these women being a little too just like jabbing in places where we really shouldn't. So, you know, that's kind of where we are with that. I still really enjoy Katie on the show. I really do not want to see any cast changes. I really, really don't. But do I think it was like Heather 1, Katie 0 at the end of this episode? Yeah. And I don't really understand the whole thing. Well, no, of course I do. It's the Emily's upset at Katie because of the kids' involvement thing. So I guess we'll get into more of that next episode, round two of three. Do I think it's going to be a knockout? No. I also do appreciate the way, there's something about the way that like Katie is able to communicate that I appreciate, but you know, like that, this whole like legal situation wasn't great. When they started sharing, when Katie shared her perspective, I was like, oh shit, what happened? But I was confused. When Heather started bringing more information, I was like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And I assume she'll be asked about it, or maybe not. Maybe this is just one of those things of like, this thing happened a while ago. We're trying to bring it into the conversation to show that you may not be the most reliable witness, but also it happened. I'm not saying it's good in any way, but it also happened a decade before we're recording this now. This is what happens when you go on Housewives. People are going to drag out some fucking skeletons. And by people, I mean, you know, I guess blogs or whatever, content creators, whatever, and stuff's up for conversation. This is, you gotta have, unless you are lying or something, you gotta have some kind of reasonable explanation for how some of this happened, unless you don't. And that's where there's a little bit of quiet. Also, oh Lord, the way that this episode ended, and God knows, not a recap podcast. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I've missed. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll get into it more in upcoming episodes. But Emily and Andy, I thought Andy P.S. did a great job part one. Like the way he just kind of like sat back at moments and there were moments where he looked uncomfortable. I just felt like, yes, you're giving us audience Greek chorus. Just like his reactions to things. You know, Andy's a great active listener. I just really felt like he killed it the first episode. I just genuinely do. I was like, he's doing a great job of mediating this. He's doing a great job of leaning back, but he's still giving us expression moments, which I really appreciate because I want to know what he's thinking during points in which he's not actually communicating stuff because he's leaving it to the women. He's guiding them through the forest, but he's like, you know, however you want to make a shank out of some leaves is entirely up to you. I really thought he did a solid job. Emily attempting to explain to Jen, I guess what was in that ESPN article was tough to watch. Jen not knowing how basic aspects of like Ryan's involvement in legal investigations with this was tough to watch. Like Jen seemingly not having a great understanding of how immunity works was tough to watch. Jen not having any curiosity about Ryan's legal status or just what happened is tough to watch. She's saying that people are getting stuff wrong, but like, I think some of her responses about immunity, it wasn't entirely making sense when everybody on the cast is like, that's not how immunity works. And Jen doesn't have a follow-up to that. I'm just thinking, where are you getting your information? Are you only getting information from Ryan? I'm sure she read the ESPN piece. She's saying they knew about what was going, not illegal acts, but just knew about like the ESPN piece, I'm sure, because they had to ask him for comment and they're saying he's going to be named in the article. There was an understanding that like press was going to come out that named Ryan. But where is Jen getting information about all of this? What is she taking away after reading that ESPN piece? She had to have read it. So what conversation is she having with Ryan? Because I think she's trying to like explain and or explain away a lot of this, but there are so many points that do not make sense. And top on the list for me is, and this is a big, you know, whatever, but like, I get her saying that he wasn't involved in illegal acts. And I hope for his sake and for hers that he wasn't. Like, and he has immunity. I don't know if this full immunity thing, I don't know his status with that. But I do also think if you know this man is an illegal bookie, and I know nothing about booking and gambling, it's really so outside of my universe, like talking about shoes, honestly, and even that, frankly, I don't know. But with Ryan profiting through experiences off of this person, meaning his like best friend Matt's access to money, I get that that might not be illegal, and I, again, not a lawyer, not anything else. Why is that not seen as like not great? If he's going to Vegas and he's participating in someone who's spending a lot of money that may have been received illegally, why are you participating in it? Like, why are you on the private jets? She's saying we don't understand. I agree with her. I don't entirely understand what's happening here. But I do think if you know your best friend who's joking on camera calling you his money launderer because he's making light of something that apparently at this point everybody knows about, if your friend is like in cahoots and you know it's not on the up and up, why are you agreeing to being like gifted these experiences of high roller whatever with these casinos in Vegas and maybe the Bahamas, wherever else? I don't get that. Like, I genuinely don't get that. I'm not questioning Ryan's actions at all when it comes to alleged, you know, like what Tamara has alleged, which she has since apologized for as well. She should. I'm not getting into any of that at all. I'm just saying, if you know that this person is like involved in, this is so Pollyanna of me, I completely get it as I'm saying it out loud. If you know that they're involved in something that's not on the up and up, why would you agree to go with them on these trips? Unless you're saying that you had no idea any of this is taking place. But how is that possible? If you know that their work is illegal, that they're an illegal bookie. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but I'm like, Jen, why aren't we asking those questions? Like, it's not just about did Ryan participate in XYZ and you're saying he didn't. I get that. I'm also asking, like, well, then why is he agreeing to receive such A++, you know, bajillionaire experiences if you know it's potentially connected to something not great, which isn't he? That's how he received immunity, because he has value that he's bringing to the authorities of having information that he was witness to or aware of. The like end of the sentence there is, if he was witness to or aware of these things, do you want to marry a man who's like looking the other way about really big multi-bajillion dollar crime? Or maybe he wasn't aware, but he was like witness to just like this person spending a lot of money, and maybe that's what the authorities want to know, like how much money did he spend, did this like best friend Matt or whatever spend when he was in your when you guys were like on vacation or whatever. I don't know, and I'm truly not saying that Ryan did anything illegal. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, like, why is Jen not aware about more? Like, why is she okay with not asking Ryan questions? And is it possible she has? Absolutely. But she's not giving me the energy sitting on the couch. It feels like she's playing not even blasé, but like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this or that. And I'm like, as a person, if you hear of this national story in which your fiance is somehow involved just in his relationship to the main fucking guy, isn't that reason enough to do a couple extra Google searches? Is that not just like basic? I mean, if we're having questions about people looking too much into investigations and doing too big a search online or talking to people about like whether or not Heather hired the paparazzi, and we're having a conversation about Katie doing too much for like texting somebody, sweet Christ, if this becomes like a national trending story, why are you not knowing more than what you're telling us at all? Like, even about understandings of how this all works legally. And having, like, wouldn't you say to Ryan, hey, how does immunity work? And also, I'm going to do some like side research on my own to like make sure this makes sense. Wouldn't you say, like, what are you, how did this happen? It doesn't feel like she knows. I'm not getting the sense. I love Jen. I really do. I think she's like a sweet spirit. You know, I think she's in some challenging positions. I obviously love her on the show. I love the way that she has found her voice this season. She has been incredible television. She was one of the best examples of like, not even like mid-franchise casting, but whatever. Just someone who really was a great casting decision. She's just been fucking fantastic. And I'm really curious to see what happens with her and Tamara. Because I do think that there's more like tension wiggle room there with her and Tamara. And also the fact that Eddie and Ryan have their own shit is, I mean, more of that, please. Like, spread that on a slice of bread with butter. Like, that to me is a delight. That's a meal. That's a meal for me next season. But I just don't feel like she's telling us. Like, I'm sure we're going to get into it, because I think that was a part of the, you know, like on next episode thing of whether or not Heather and Tamara talking about her wearing a $1,800 or $2,000 Dolce dress was inappropriate considering her financial stuff. I know that the argument is going to be like, what were they mean girls or not? But I'm also wondering, like, here are the gaps here in our expectation that you are interested in improving your life and making decisions that are financially responsible, that show me that regardless of your relationship status, our hope for you is that you want to have more control over your finances and understanding of money and financial responsibility that you have to your children, but also yourself. And maybe it's like Ryan is offering you a certain life. And I'm not saying you have to say no to that, but I am saying that like the optics around this, I don't think support Jen as much as she thinks that they do. There's some like gray area here, and the end of the episode just made me feel like, oh shit, oh, Jen, I thought you would come in here with a little bit more under your belt just when it comes to the like ESPN of it all. And also, sidebar, I couldn't know less about sports. I was following the, I was about to call it the Super Bowl. I'm so sorry, the World Series, because friend of the pod, Kiki Monique, was like recapping it on her Instagram stories. And I was hooked to her explanation of the World Series without not once thinking, maybe I want to tune into 5 minutes of this. Didn't have any interest in that at all, but had a great interest in Kiki's explanation. And I'm so sorry, I don't know the name of this, the baseball player at like the center of all of this, who's certainly innocent of any kind of questions or something. It's just this, his like accountant or whatever. Oh God, this is a mess. But like, he just seems like a lovely guy. And Kiki was talking about how he like, he had a huge contract, but wasn't interested in having like a full payout of that because he wanted the team to be able to have enough money to have other, you know, top tier talent join the team. So he's like pushing off payments in a crazy, crazy way. Just seems like a mensch. Seems like a great guy. So kudos to you, sir, whose name I forgot. And also, I guess, shout out to the Dodgers for winning the World Cup. So the Davis final, winning Wimbledon on the baseball field. Love that journey for you. Listen, solid episode, not necessarily of this podcast, but of the Real Housewives of Orange County. More to come. Next up on my plate is watching Salt Lake City and talking about that. I do owe us all in the universe a Potomac deep dive. I haven't, you know, again, took a couple of days off of being myself. So I'm getting right back in it. And that's where we are. There's not going to be a closing episode to your fest for me, because I don't know about you, but I'm a little fucking tired. And listen, it's a marathon, not a sprint. If you, like me, have had just a real bad fucking week, in the words of Gibson Johns, signed up for his Substack, which you can sign up for on his Instagram. He said, what a crazy year this week has been. If there isn't a better description of me aging, I'm almost, I don't know, in my late 20s plus spiritually, after a week of just nothingness and everything all at once, everything everywhere all at once. Putting love out there in the universe. And if you were thinking that this episode would be something different than it was, this is where I am at this moment in time, hopping on the mic. And that's all we can do for each other, is like do whatever makes you feel okay and safe, and maybe challenged at points or not, or comfortable, and having an escape or connection. And I can only be honest to myself and how I'm feeling at this specific moment in which I'm recording. That's the joy of a stream of consciousness podcast, is I would do a really bad fucking job of coming in here with a feeling that was different than what I actually had. That there's no structure to this podcast. The only structure of the pod is like we communicate how we are feeling and apply that to the Bravo universe, or vice versa. So that will continue. And if you get anything out of this episode or the podcast, because I've gotten some messages of people being like, I've, you know, this week has sucked and I've gone back and listened to episodes just for an escape. Nothing could be more meaningful to me. And again, I just want to make clear, because I don't know what I was saying in the initial ramble, but like hearing from people who wanted to hear a rage episode, I totally get it. Like I completely understand it. And I'm so sorry if that is not the experience that this episode was. I just can only go off of how I'm feeling in the moment. And the last couple of days for me have just been really fucking quiet. Just checking in on friends, and at points checking in on myself, and just remembering to breathe. And, you know, I'm the queen of no explanations at points. Like if you don't do anything in a day, but you got through it somehow, Lord knows that's more than enough for me. I'm not the judge and jury of anything, but how the shoes are positioned in the closet. So listen, just putting some love into the universe, and certainly describing my own fear, and And that's where we are. Listen, send me your satchels of gold. Oh my God, just occurred to me. Send me your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about Orange County, about Salt Lake City, about Potomac, about allegedly New York. I do have a hot take about New York, even though I haven't seen the most recent episode. And I thought I was going to get into it in the conversation with Dylan. And then we didn't sort of curve around that path. But there is something that's been annoying me that I will get into. This is my verbal friendship contract that I'll get into on the New York. It's really such a nothing burger, but so is the New York franchise. So why not burn a couple bridges along the path? So anyway, DM me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about the Bravo universe, anything else, and I will get into as many of them as I possibly can on an upcoming Satchel Spectacular on the AG Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes, and there's also a premium tier where you can have a private Zoom Kiki with yours truly, or record a Patreon bonus app. Choice is entirely up to you. And again, that is available at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and just hang in there. Okay. And don't be a twat. Try not to be a twat. And if you are a twat, as I am every other hour of my life, just give yourself a little bit of grace. And unlike what a lot of people, including women, believe, I fully support a woman's rage. The policing of feelings and anger and upset as a form of control that often comes from people who just disagree with the rage itself, so they feel like it shouldn't exist. If you need to go scream into a forest or whatever, get thee to Central Park and maybe just, I don't know, let people know that you're okay. Okay. Because when we hear someone screaming, you know, the New Yorker in us, we have our kind of ears up. But, you know, do whatever you need to do, listen or not to whatever you need to. And again, you don't need me saying that to understand it. But just to make that abundantly clear, just put in just a little bit of love out into the world, she says to herself, hoping that lands somewhere at some point. Because I don't know about you, but I have felt so worthless the last couple of days where I'm like, I got nothing. I literally said to my psychiatrist, I'm like, I'm bringing no value into the world, not as a threat, but like, what do I even do? Like, I feel lost. I feel like nothing I do, you know, makes sense. Or, you know, I think many of us have just gone through this point of just feeling like we're in a little bit of a black hole. But sometimes we just need someone to help us pull ourselves out of it. Or sometimes we just know we need an extra day. Or, you know, a picture of Shannon Bedore. So closing the Bedore to this episode. And if you are a woman, a black woman, a member of the queer community, an immigrant, some or all of the above, fuck me. I wish I had literally any kind of words of wisdom or something that would help. But I don't. This is not going to be one of those episodes. Just take a deep breath and keep breathing. That's what I would say. Just keep breathing. Salt Lake City up next on the docket. Heard it's a wild episode. God bless us, everyone. Excited to deep dive it. And listen, guys, I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.